Welcome to the 10th episode of Squibkick Radio. I am your host, Elias Powell, and I am finally joined here with Robbie and Riley. We've got the full squad today, and we are ready to talk football. How's it going, boys?
Aloha.
How's it going?
You know, I'm doing pretty well. I had a feeling I did a pretty good in the picks this week, but we'll get to that later. What we got in store for you guys today is we've mainly got Robbie back. Robbie's back off the sickness, so that's always good. We're going to take you guys through some hot takes that that we've come up with over the last couple weeks, and we've got the CFL football in playoff form, so Riley's going to take you guys through that. And so let's just do a quick recap of just some of the stuff that happened in the NFL this week. Riley, why don't you give us a breakdown of some of the things that went on?
Well, my favorite one is that the Cowboys suck. If you guys have been listening to our podcast from episode one, we had Charlie on, one of our good buddies, on episode one, and he's as homer of a Cowboys fan as it gets. His dog's name is Zeke. He dresses him up in a Zeke jersey every single Sunday for Cowboys football. So to see them be this bad, it really makes me feel good inside. And Tennessee, not a good football team. Their defense is good, but there's no way that if the Cowboys want to do anything this season that they should be losing 28-14 to that Tennessee team.
Yeah, it was not even fair from the start. Dallas, you know, they tried to get Amari going early, but Dallas just continues to struggle.
I hate the Cowboys so much. Like, just so much.
Yeah, they're them and the Dolphins.
Yeah, it is the them and the Dolphins that we've got it out for. Another game I want to touch on really quick was our game of the week. I think everyone that watches football's game of the week. And that was the Saints versus the Rams. And what a game it was, guys.
Yeah, that was unreal.
I mean, just points on points on points. Like, they put up, what, 80 points? I think the projected total was supposed to be 59. And even people, like, we knew that was going to get blown out of the water. The highlight for me was the Joe Horn celebration from Mike Thomas on his second one when he pulled out that cell phone. I'm not too sure it was worth the 15-yard penalty in a game where, like, they needed the win. But the homage was pretty cool.
I think he deserved to do that. You know, I think he broke 200 yards on that play as well. So he was just having a day, and that touchdown pretty much put it away for him. Coach Payton definitely was not impressed with him coming back to the sidelines, but that was awesome.
Do you think that he held a flip phone in both field goal uprights?
Guarantee it was in both.
Yeah, he planned he had for to sure. Have. Not only did it break the backs of the Rams, it broke our fantasy football champion's back. I was playing him this week, and I had Michael Thomas, and I was able to upset him. So I would just like to say thank you, Michael Thomas. You're my hero. And keep up getting the 200 yards a game.
Yeah, on a week that I traded Mike Thomas for Mike Evans. So
that's rough.
That's a tough one.
Other big game this week was, of course, the Brady versus Rodgers showdown. I don't really think that it was that everything it was cracked up to be. Green Bay is just, they're just not a very good team to watch right now unless they have the ball and are down 3 to 7 points with under a minute left. They're just not that interesting of a team. Patriots come on top of this one. Flash Gordon busted it open.
Yeah, he looked good.
Yeah, well, I think me and you talked about it last week, Eli. We didn't think that Green Bay was going to be able to hang with New England, and it came to fruition. I mean, it wasn't a blowout by any means, but Green Bay just, they're not on the same level as New England, and that's very evident after this weekend's matchup.
Yeah, they just don't have an offense, and their defense can't hang around either. I mean, side note, what's going on with Gronk?
Yeah, he has had a bad season this year. He's just been hurt all year. It just seems that, and this also stems to a conversation I had the other day about the entire NFL and defensive coordinators. It seems like they've just figured out tight end this year. It's been a game-breaking position for the last 3 or 4 years, and just now it seems this year, like, tight ends just get shut down.
tight ends get shut down, in my opinion, I think because now they've got slot corners. Before, you used to have two corners outside, three linebackers, sometimes four, depending on your scheme, two safeties, and that was it. And now you have guys like, you know, Deion Buchan and you know, physical guys like that they can play both linebacker and the slot. So, I mean, when you're going to have guys who are now athletes specialized to take on 6'7", 6'6", you know, big guys like Gronk, eventually they're going to get schemed out.
Yeah, they've basically created a linebacker safety corner.
Yeah.
And it's doing a very good job of shutting down the tight ends. But they have to adjust. You see these things every couple years in the NFL. Remember the Wildcat? No one knew how to figure out the Wildcat for about 7 weeks. And then it hasn't been used very well since. There's just little things that come into the league. It's usually from the NCAA that starts it off. And teams figure out ways to adjust. And tight ends exploded a couple seasons ago, and now teams are adjusting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to just see if the tight end, mainly Gronk, you know, you see Kelsey's having a really good season with Mahomes. Zach Ertz, he's doing what he's going to do. And
George Kittle.
San Francisco tight end George Kittle is having an absolute monster season coming out of nowhere. So it's not like no one's getting it done. It's just these premier guys are just not stepping up. And, you know, you're not having Gronk having, like, 150-yard, two-touchdown games, you know? It's more like if a tight end's going off in that game, like, he might put up 80 yards and a score. But, yeah, it's interesting to see what's going on with that.
That's kind of a tribute to Tom, though, too. I mean, like, aside from Randy Moss and Gronk, Tom's really never had, you know, a bona fide wide out one. You know, he's had a little Wes Welker, but he made Wes Welker, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so Tom can take these guys like Edelman, like Amendola, James White, you know, guys who aren't the greatest, who aren't going to be monsters on any other team, but when they're with Tom, he will make you a giant. So he doesn't necessarily need Gronk, and that doesn't work out to Gronk's benefit, I don't think. If Gronk was on, I don't know, a dozen other teams, if Gronk played for a guy like Big Ben, where he just feeds one guy over and over again, I think Gronk would be unreal again, but he's got to be healthy for sure.
Yeah, and Gronk just hasn't been able to stay on the field. But with that, we're going to keep our NFL sort of recap / highlight reel fairly short today, because we're going to go into a new segment. We tried doing this at the midway point of the season, but we just couldn't get everyone together, and we wanted everyone together to do some hot takes for you guys. So the season's now well over halfway done. Going into week 10, and this is a good time to put out some, you know, some spicy hot picks that are gonna, you know, either you're gonna put your neck out on the line, or we're gonna tell you that you're basically full of shit, and that's not gonna happen. So Riley, you've had some time to brew on this, buddy. What do you got going on?
I've got two really good ones, I think. The first
we'll
one
start,
is
start
that...
with your start we'll start with your spiciest one, Riley.
Okay, my spiciest one is that the Falcons are going to finish 10-6 and have the first wild card spot this season. Just looking at their schedule here, they have Cleveland, Dallas, New Orleans, Baltimore, Green Bay, Arizona, Carolina, and Tampa. They are going to lose to New Orleans, and they are going to lose to Carolina, and they are not going to lose another one of those games. 10-6.
Yeah, I could see that. And then having the Falcons limp into, playoff spot. Also, on your Falcons notes, Riley, Julio Jones caught his first touchdown of the season.
Thank
Just
God.
Back it up a little bit. So that could add to your that hot take. Because if they can get Julio figured out, that Falcons team is going to put up a lot of points with him scoring.
Yeah, they've played well despite Steve Sarkisian being useless. But I do think he's done a lot better. I do have to give him a little bit of credit. That Falcons team scores 30 points almost every week lately. I just think they're on a heater. The young defense is kind of figuring it out, and I think this Falcons team will be a wild card team. Now, am I saying they're going to win a playoff game? No, I'm not saying that, but I do think that they're a top six team in the conference.
Yeah, I think they could definitely limp into that that wild card spot, but that defense is too much of a liability for playoff football, and I don't think they're getting past it. But we'll give you that wild card game, Riley. That's a pretty decent guess there, Robbie. What do you think's gonna shake up here?
something to go along the lines of that. I think the Chiefs go 14-2. Now, that's quite the record. I mean, they're sitting at 8-1, so you're thinking like, oh, okay, tough guy. But, I mean, they're going to blow out the Cardinals. I think they're 16.5-point favorites right
now.
Yeah,
they are.
I think they might lose to the Rams. You know what? I'll give them a loss to the Rams. The Rams are going to need to come firing back after that loss to New Orleans. They're going to kill the Raiders. I think they're going to stomp the Ravens, stomp the Chargers. Seahawks game might be a decent game, and then they're going to destroy the Raiders again. I think they're going to finish 14-2, and I'm pretty hard on that.
See, I might push you back a bit on that. I after seeing this Saints game with the Rams, I don't think that the Rams are going to beat Kansas City. New Orleans' defense has been playing a decent amount better than the Chiefs' defense, but I just think I saw that Rams defense get worn down, and the league has seen that if you can just keep going at the Rams and not have them physically beat you there, you can beat them. Goff played a great game, but when it came down to it, he missed some pretty basic throws. He was making awesome throws all over the field, but when you needed him to make those elite throws, he missed them. And I think that's going to hold them back from pulling out the games against, you know, the Saints, the Chiefs. You could even, if you get Minnesota on a good day, which is doubtful, but, you know, it could shake down. I think they're still going to lose just one game.
Okay, which game do you have them lose? And take a look at their schedule here. Cardinals, easy win.
Well, yeah, they've already lost their one game. I think they're going
15-1.
I think they're going to win out. Yeah.
Oh, Fody bet.
I think the Chargers might get them. I like this Chargers team.
Done. 40 bet.
40 bet.
Easy. All right, Eli, what do you got for us?
Okay. This isn't really records or playoffs or anything. After seeing last week, it pains me to see it, but Drew Brees will beat out Patrick Mahomes for MVP of the league this year.
I could see it. I mean, right now that the race is probably Mahomes, Gurley, and Drew. I mean, and notoriously, it's a quarterback's award, so it's down to the two of them. I think I'm still going to take the Chiefs, man. I'm going to take Mahomes.
See, I think that the NFL will give it to Drew Brees because the records he's broken this year are huge. You know, the one thing he doesn't really have is an MVP. And I think the NFL is going to see that and be like, you know what? He might not have a season like this again, so we got to give it to him.
See, and I think Derrick Rose the MVP award to Pat Mahomes.
My problem with that.
On that Fody bet?
Nope, not going to double up on that.
Well, that's your chance to come back.
My problem with that is that Drew Brees isn't even top 10 in passing yards.
Thank you.
You know, he's had a great season. He's broken records. He's 7th in touchdown passes with 18. Patrick Mahomes has 29. Oof. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is first in yards. He's first in touchdown passes. He's only thrown 7 picks. I just don't see anyone else beating out Patrick Mahomes for MVP this year. Drew Brees still has a half season to prove himself, and he has turned it on a little bit here. I do think the Saints have a harder schedule, but I mean, Patty Mahomes, first year in, 29 TDs in 9 games played, only 7 picks. I mean, those are crazy numbers. Now, Drew Brees has only thrown 1 interception all season long, 18 touchdowns, 1 pick. But I don't know. It's going to be tough for Patty Mahomes to get dethroned, I think.
Yeah, I think it's totally dependent on on record, how the teams finish. And it's either Todd Gurley or it's Pat Mahomes.
See, I think Drew Brees would definitely finish ahead of Gurley in the MVP voting, just from what he's done. I just don't see him giving it to a running back. Gurley would literally need to shatter a major record.
Yeah, but man, you can't penalize Gurley for a season award because he hasn't had the career Drew Brees has. That's not how the award works.
Well, I know, but this is getting into the conspiracy theory of, I think the NFL is just going to give it to him.
Hmm. That is spicy.
Yeah, that's spicy. Jeez Louise.
That take isn't cold, that's for sure. Gurley has 162 more yards than the next best running back rushing. 12 touchdowns in 9 games played. I mean, he's having one of the better seasons of all time as a running back. There's no doubt about it. But just the way that this is such a quarterback-heavy league, I just don't see him winning either. So, I mean, I think it's Mahomes to lose. And I think you could be right on Drew Brees coming in second, but I think he's going to have to really turn it on in the second half of the season.
All right. Well, we'll see how that one plays out. Riley, do you have any other big takes for us?
I got one more here. I think the Chargers are going to finish with a better record than the Patriots.
Wow. Yeah, that's big.
I think the Chargers are the second best team in the AFC, but they are playing behind KC, so I mean, they can't really win the division at this point unless Kansas City implodes. But I really like that Chargers team. Their defense is really good. Phillip Rivers has that look in his eye. They've won 5 in a row. None really against very good teams. They don't really have that hard of a schedule, but they do have to play KC and Pittsburgh in the back half here. So that'll really be the telling sign. They have Oakland, Denver, Arizona next. That should be an 8-game winning streak by the end of that. So just by strength of schedule and the skill that I see them having, I think that the Chargers finish with a better record than the Patriots.
That's really, I mean, I don't really want to bet against Bill Belichick and the Patriots because they're still figuring it out. That Tom connection with Josh Gordon and potentially Gronk getting healthy again, they could put together some wins, but I almost want to agree with it because it makes sense. The Chargers have looked great. Melvin Gordon's playing some of the best football of his young career so far. Rivers has actually blown my expectations out of the water. And it's just their defense. They haven't had Joey Bosa.
No, he hasn't even played yet.
Yeah, he hasn't played yet, so their defense is only going to get better. But, yeah, I mean, I could buy it. I could buy it, Riley.
Nope, not happening. Patriots have a game up on the Chargers, so they're 7-2. Chargers sitting at 6-2. The Patriots, you could peg them for maybe 2 losses. They've only got 2 tough games ahead of them. They play the Vikings and the Steelers. Their other games are the Titans, who we just bashed, the Jets twice, the Dolphins, and the Bills. The Chargers have 3 tough games left, and they're a game behind. So, I mean, they've got to play the Steelers, they've got to play the Bengals, and they've got to play the Chiefs. Oh, and the Ravens. So, I mean, oh, boys, I'm taking the Patriots on that all day.
The Ravens and the Bengals don't really scare me as football programs. They came out hot, and now they don't look great. Andy Dalton's due for his yearly blow-up in the back half of the season. And I just don't think Joe Flacco is a very good quarterback at all. And I don't think he has great receivers around him. Those are 2 games that the Chargers should win if they're the contenders that they think they are.
Okay, we'll have to wait it out.
Well, that was that's a bold statement, Riles. I like it. I like it. Robbie, what do you got for us as well?
Something I've got for this, it takes 2 or 3 years to fester, so you boys are just going to have to hear me out. It's the fact that John Gruden thinks that he's Jimmy Johnson from the 90s. Now, I know none of us were alive for it, but we've all heard the story about him coming in 1989. Cowboys are trash. He walks in, coach in 1990. He's got a few really good players. He's got Aikman. He's got Herschel Walker. He's got Michael Irvin. They're 1-3. He realizes that he's not going anywhere fast. So what he does is he trades Herschel Walker. He actually tried to trade Michael Irvin to Al Davis and the Raiders, but then Al Davis is like, are you sure? Like, who's going to catch the ball? So he backed out of that trade. But he moved Herschel Walker for essentially 3 firsts, 3 seconds, and a 3rd. I mean, Gruden moved Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper for 3 firsts. And in today's football economy where, you know, there's only 7 drafts, there's a lot more talent at the front of the drafts, that's the equivalent to those extra 2nd and 3rd round picks. Gruden looked at his team, realized that he was the Cowboys from the 89-90 season where they're not going anywhere, and they're playing behind Patrick Mahomes and these Chiefs who are just flying. So 2, 3, 4 years from now, when those picks are actually like grown adults. They know what they're doing in his scheme because he's there for 10 years, like it or not. Maybe they can start picking apart on that Chiefs team who's in their division. I mean, yes, Pat Mahomes will be 3 and 4 years more inclined to be the best quarterback in the league, but I mean, there's a lot of guys who only have 2 and 3 years left on their contracts, especially the defense. So I mean, maybe that's what Gruden's playing for, and I could definitely see it because his 1 and 7 Raiders right now, they're clearly not doing anything.
So going into the mind of Coach Gruden, then, what do you think they need to target to make this team that much better?
Immediately, they need to find a replacement for Khalil Mack. I think they need to use one of their first 3 first-round picks next year and get a guy like Khalil Mack to replace Khalil Mack. Now you're sitting on an extra first-round pick that you just got from the Bears. After that, you can go after receivers because obviously you got to replace Amari Cooper. And then if it's still not working a year from now, maybe replace Derek Carr before you really have to pay him.
Won't they need to address that offensive line, though?
Oh, man, that, you can get that through free agency.
Oh, I think they need to use one of the 3 picks on an O-lineman. This season, I don't think they go quarterback. I agree with you. I think they give Carr one more season, see what he's really all about. But, yeah, by the end of next season, if they're still total trash, you gotta go find Carr's replacement. I mean, Oakland's had such trouble with quarterbacks and drafting quarterbacks. I don't know. They're just cursed in that department. But yeah, I think Carr gets one more year. I think you go O-lineman, receiver, and middle linebacker would be the 3 optimal positions to pick somebody up at in this year's first round. And we'll see where that goes from there.
Yeah, they've been making an effort on their O-lineman. I know that they get hit pretty hard through the media with it and stuff. But I mean, their first round pick, I think he was number 16, was Colton Miller from UCLA. So they are addressing it. And I'm a big proprietor at saying that, like, I think O-linemen can be found through free agency. I think you want a guy who already knows schemes and stuff, because if he's played in both a run scheme and a smash scheme, you can pick him up both easily, as opposed to, like, whenever a coaching or an OC goes down. So, I mean, it'll be interesting for sure. But I think Gruden thinks that he's Jimmy Johnson, and it could work. I think he's got to wait for KC to have a down season 2-3 years from now.
I have another, like, problem with that. Is next year the last year they're in Oakland?
Well, they have to wait for their stadium to be built. And as far as I know, their stadium's a year behind from all the rain last year.
Okay, so saying this is the second last or the last season with Oakland in Oakland, how do you sell a rebuilding franchise to a new fan base when a team like the Vegas Golden Knights comes in and goes to the Stanley Cup final year one? I mean, that's turned into a hockey town. If you're going 2-14 with a terrible team, is that good for the move? I mean, how are you supposed to build a fan base with a brutal team?
Honestly, man, I think it's pretty easy, unfortunately, just to like kind of shoot that down. I thought the same thing about Vegas Knights going into it, but they are going to have so many tickets. Like, when you go to Vegas and you get an X amount of suites, say you get the medium suite, and you'd be like, oh, here's your Raiders tickets, you're going to go. You know, anybody who is a Seahawks fan, be like, hey, man, Seahawks play in Vegas this weekend, let's go. Stuff like that. I think they're going to have no problem selling out just like the Vegas Knights did. I'm surprised that the stadium's only going to seat about 72,000 people. I thought it was going to be pushing closer to 100.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I mean, more sports team in Vegas, the better. That just gives me more excuses to go, honestly.
That's
so
right, man. And see, if your Falcons were playing in Vegas, you'd go. But if they were playing
true.
In Oakland, you wouldn't go.
That's true.
I'm not necessarily saying that there will be a whole bunch of Raiders fans, but that stadium will be full every single week.
Yeah, it might be
the most recent report coming out of the NFL, Goodell still doesn't know where the Raiders will play in 2019.
That's good.
That alone is still up in the air.
Good. Real excellent. That Raiders organization just all about it right now.
Yeah, and on that note, I might as well close out these hot takes with maybe the hottest of takes. And I'm going to say it. The Rams aren't going to make the Super Bowl.
Woo.
Yep.
Who do you have there instead?
The Saints.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that was a good game. The Saints just beat the Rams. I mean, I don't think it's that spicy. I think a spicier take is Danny Amendola gets back with Culpa. Did you see that? Oh, my gosh. She's so hot. What are you doing, Danny?
But I don't know. I think everyone's still picking the Rams because Aqib Talib's injured. Marcus Peters is banged up and is just getting burned
and
by
just not very good
in the league. They've got some pretty key pieces on that defensive secondary missing, but now that I've seen them, and it's not super spicy seeing as how they've just played, but yeah, I don't see them beating the Saints. I think Drew Brees and that entire Saints team is playing too high of a level of football with the dynamic in the run game. You've got Alvin Kamara that can just
burn
anyone out of the flat. You have Mark Ingram that can go between the tackles and literally throwing blocks that are taking guys' legs out. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was sick.
Just blowing up middle linebackers. And then you have Michael Thomas just that he catches everything. He literally catches everything. So it'll be it's the Saints conference for sure.
I'm already excited for that game again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably been one of the most hyped up games regular season games I've seen in a long time.
And I think it lived up to the hype. It was a fun game to watch the whole way through. I mean, the Saints pulled away a little bit at the end, but I mean, just a great game.
Yeah, there's only one thing that could have made that game better. And it was if Tony Romo was calling it.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Big fan.
I would have learned so much if Tony was there.
I know.
I learned so much when Tony's on TV. Even his Corona ads.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And that's going to wrap up our hot takes for this week. Pretty good, boys. We've got an exciting second half of the season to come. And Riley, big news in the CFL coming up this weekend.
Oh, I can't wait for this weekend in the CFL. The Calgary Stampeders were able to take down the Lions last week and clinch first place in the West. So no West final and bye for the Riders. They have to play the Winnipeg Blue Bombers this week. I did go 3-1 last week, and those were some hard games to pick because a lot of players did not play. And only the Stamps had anything to play for. So I finished the regular season 49-28. Couldn't get that one more win to make it 50, but, you know, there's always next year, I guess. This week we'll start in the East because that's the game that goes first. BC crosses over and is in Hamilton taking on the Tiger Cats. Hamilton -1 here at home. This is going to be a pretty good game, I think. The Tiger Cats just lost to Montreal. Didn't really play anybody, but this BC Lions team is good, and I think they are going to beat Hamilton on the road. It's like playing a 9 a.m. game for BC right now because the game goes at 11 o'clock.
Eastern?
Goes at 11 o'clock Eastern time, so that's a tough one for the Lions, but, you know, that's a... That's the way she goes. And then the Riders, they host Winnipeg in the ultimate Labor Day Classic. I can't wait for this game. If you are a CFL fan, this is the matchup that I think everyone wants. A playoff matchup between the Riders and the Bombers. I mean, tell me you're not hyped up for that one, Eli.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a great game. Just the home playoff game is going to be the best. It's such a good atmosphere. It's going to be cold in Saskatchewan. It's going to be a game that I think the Riders are going to win in the trenches. They're going to have to run the ball. But I see them pulling it out. I think Winnipeg is going to blow it.
Yeah. I mean, I actually screwed up. It's 1 o'clock Eastern for BC Hamilton. Sorry about that, everybody. This Riders team, their defense is too good, I think. I think defense wins championships. When the games get cold, when you have to go to the ground game, that's where defense steps up. And, I mean, Cameron Marshall has looked really good since his return. And I know they have Andrew Harris. Andrew Harris is a beast, but I think Chris Jones and that defense will scheme for him, and they will take Winnipeg out. The Riders are favored by 3, and I think they cover that. I think they win by a touchdown.
Nice. And that is the CFL predictions. We're getting short now that it's playoffs, but it's the best time for the CFL. And they've actually moved the season up this year. Is that correct, Riley?
I think it just went a week. I think they're looking at moving it more. But they did add a week, so the Grey Cup is still the same weekend it always is, but they are looking to move it up at least 2 weeks in the future.
Why? What's the perk?
It's not like 30 below.
Yeah, people are soft these days.
Yeah.
It's really sickening to me, honestly, that people are like, oh, it's minus 10, too cold to go to a football game. It's gross. I think people are soft and they should leave the season as it is, but, you know, that's just me.
Is it the fan base or the players?
I think it's more the fans complaining.
They're still selling tickets, but I think the league wants to make it easier for people and not have to go out in potentially like minus 20 weather, because it was the day before the Grey Cup in Regina, and it was minus 38 the night before.
Yeah, but you guys live for that stuff.
Yeah, it was a nice day during the game, though. I do remember running shirtless down Elbert Street after the Riders won and high-fiving cars for about 4 hours, so it wasn't too bad that night.
Yeah, the cold just factors in as part of playoff football in Canada.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it's soft to move the season up. I think it's fine as is. But, you know, if they want to get people in the seats, then they have to move the season up.
I agree, Riley. Well, that's the CFL update. Robbie, some super exciting stuff going in the NCAA.
Yeah, college football. I mean, Tua is a robot. If you were to bet on him now, you're betting $8 to win a dollar back. Like, it's not even a bet anymore. It's his to win. He threw his first pick of the season against the second-best defense in the country, LSU. Big deal. I mean, he's unreal. He could honestly blow his knee right now. I'm not joking. He could blow his knee and still win the Heisman, which is absolutely unheard of. The only guy who's even close behind him, and I say close with, you know, parentheses here, is Kyler Murray from Oklahoma, who balled out, and he still has 10-1 odds. Like, it's just not happening. They always put a third guy in the race just to make it seem like it's a race. The NCAA is all about ratings, and they're tricky like that. So their third guy is Shea Patterson from Michigan, who's at 14-1. Honestly, you could give him just the craziest odds, and he still won't win. I mean, it's Tua's for sure. For instance, he had a really big game against Penn State. Penn State was ranked number 14 going into the week. We thought for sure that it was going to be a much better game than it was. Coach Kaki put up 42. They won 42-7. But Shea Patterson, you know, the number three Heisman candidate in the country, he only went 11 for 17 for 144 yards and two scores. So I don't know. If I thought I was about to win the Heisman or I had a chance, I think I'm hucking the ball, and I think we're going to, like, I'm putting up 3, 4, 5 scores. If the defense is that leaky on a power team, I want to be involved on that, not just throwing the ball 17 times. There was more than 17 rushes in the first half. So another key note was Alabama. Tua and Alabama are so good. For instance, they were playing the number three team in the country, the second best defense to theirs, on the road at Death Valley at night. Now, since 1960, LSU at home, Death Valley, when they play at night, they win 78% of their games. That's in more than 50 years. They win 78% of their, it's incredible. So the fact that Alabama went in there, Death Valley, at night, number three team in the country, they were 15-point favorites. They won 29-0.
Yeah, shut them out.
Their student section was chanting, "We want Bama." That's the only team that Alabama could lose to is their own defense. Like, it's incredible. And to close it out, I mean, the college football playoff picture, we're all kind of waiting on it. Alabama obviously is locked in a seed weeks ago, 9-0. Clemson, they're 9-0. I don't think they're going to lose either. They're playing in the weak ACC. They're not going to lose. Our boy Trevor Lawrence looks good, but he's a freshman. He doesn't look great yet. Yeah. Etienne, he's running the ball like crazy. He's the guy winning those games on offense. Notre Dame, like we called it a few weeks ago, boys, they're going to win out. You know, they could go undefeated. They'll still stay in that 3 spot, though. And right now we've got Michigan at 8-1, who just killed Penn State 42-7. There's a couple teams that could try and sneak into that 4 spot, but I think we've got those top 3 locked in. Georgia, they would need to win out. They're in 5 right now. They would need to win out, but that includes a game against Alabama in December, and personally I don't see it happening. Number 6 Oklahoma plays number 7 West Virginia in 2 weeks, so say Michigan loses again to Ohio State in 2 weeks. The winner of that team, as long as they win out, they could sneak into the 4 spot, but aside from that, I think that's who we're working with right now. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and then there's 3 or 4 teams that control their own destiny.
How about those Wolverines, though?
Oh, man, they look so good. They look as good as Coach Kaki said they would 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We all kind of laughed at him when he was getting rocked by Ohio State and stuff, but, man, they look good. And Penn State's not a slouch either.
Yeah, beating Penn State is huge, and they've got a huge game coming up against Ohio State, like you said, in 2 weeks. That is what they need to get past, and if they do, they're bound for the college football playoffs.
If Michigan State wins against Ohio State in 2 weeks, they's locked in that four spot. If they lose, I think it's going to be either Oklahoma or West Virginia.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, Michigan is just, they're just rolling. They're, in my opinion, one of the hottest teams besides Alabama right now. You know, it was LSU. They were balling up. They were just climbing those rankings every week. But yeah, they got shut down by Saban and his machine of monsters.
Yeah, and like what people seem to forget is Michigan's on an 8-game winning streak. They lost the very first game of the season. So since then, they've made few mistakes, and they look great.
Well, that's everything for the college football wrap-up. Tua's running away with it. It's obvious. And those are the playoff teams. That's pretty much the biggest news. Why don't we get into some picks? Mr. Pollock, why don't you give us a little recap of how we did last week?
Well, us as a whole went 8-1.
All right.
Last week. I mean, and
let's go.
We picked a lot of upsets. Only one game was a favorite, and that was Robbie taking KC -8.5 versus Cleveland. So I mean, every other game that we picked last week was an upset. So the odds makers did something wrong if we can go 8-1 against that.
Vegas got absolutely hammered on the weekend.
Yeah.
Boys,
just
I
crushed.
Made $1,500 on the weekend.
Let's go!
Like I cleaned Oof. Up.
Whew. Okay, well, I'll start with myself because I'm the one with the loss. We'll get the loser out of the way. I went two and one, which is pretty respectable. 4-2 over the last 2 weeks. Climbing the rankings here, looking for a wild card spot. I had Atlanta 1.5 plus 1.5 versus Washington, and they won. The Chargers were plus 1.5 versus Seattle. They won. But then I took the Rams also at plus 1.5 versus New Orleans. And, well, that didn't
we
work out
how
for
that
me.
Turned out.
Ouch.
Yeah, not a great start. Robbie, 3-0. Oh, sorry. I'm 10-16-1 now overall. Robbie went 3-0. He's 12-6. He has two more wins than me in four less weeks. He took Houston plus 1 versus Denver. They won. KC minus 8.5 versus Cleveland. They covered. And Pittsburgh plus 3 versus Baltimore, which I thought was a brutal line. Pittsburgh won that game as well. So, yeah, 12-6, Robbie. Pretty good record. Eli went 3-0 as well. 19-7-1 overall
Let's
this
go.
Year. Pretty good record for you, Eli. You took Houston plus 1 versus Denver, Atlanta plus 1.5 versus Washington, and Pittsburgh plus 3 versus Baltimore. All three right, all three underdogs, and you cleaned up. So 19-7-1 for Eli. I'm 10-16-1, and Robbie's 12-6. What do you got this week, boys?
Robbie, take it away.
I'm taking the Saints by 5 against Cincinnati. I'm thinking they cover by more than a touchdown. I've got Atlanta 4.5 against Cleveland, and I've got New England 6.5 over Tennessee.
So no there dogs this week. No dogs for Robbie in week number 10. Holy crap!
Week 10.
Can't believe we're in week 10 already.
All right. And what I've got for you guys this week is I've got Philly at 6.5. -6.5 over Dallas. I'm gonna go with the Niners. They're playing. They're a little hot. They're riding that one game.
Nick Mullins
is he's balling. So I'm gonna take the Niners -3 against the G-men. Giants are trash. They're gonna get just roasted by the Niners.
the best quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah. And I'm also going to take Jacksonville at plus 3 over the Colts.
I could see it. That defense needs to start rolling.
Yeah,
well, they're
going
to get Fournette back. And
yeah, they need that desperately.
Yeah.
Because they are
imploding.
Yeah, I
think in the trade of Dante Fowler. shook up the locker room a bit. You know, it maybe gave him a jolt of life. So we'll see. Yeah, I'm going to take the Jags. And let's just think about this for a sec. The Jags are an upset pick over the Colts. Yikes.
Yeah. That's
Yeah, but I mean, they've got Blake Bortles, the second best quarterback in NFL history. So
it's just crazy that though they were at the start of the season, they were Super Bowl favorites.
And now Indy's plus minus -3 against them.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Jack Doyle's back. That's big.
Well, all right, boys,
Ralph, what do you got for us?
I've got New Orleans minus -5 versus Cincy as well. The Saints look good, man. They look real good.
Strong pick.
I'm going to take Washington plus +3 versus Tampa. I can't believe that Tampa's a 3-point favorite over Washington. I know Fitzmagic is there, and he might go off for like 500 yards passing and 6 TDs. But he's more of a...
Washington did get decimated by injuries last week.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm still taking those Redskins there. Burns will love me for it. I think Fitzmagic is more of like a children's birthday party magician right now and not the big stage guy that we saw at the start of the season.
He's not a David Blaine rally?
Pardon?
He's not a David Blaine?
Yeah, no, not David Blaine. No Chris Angels here. My He's like friend. the amazing Fitz who pulls like rabbits out of hats and squirts people with flowers. More of a clown, I would say, than a magician at this point. But, you know, we'll see this week. Maybe he's got a little bit of magic left up the sleeve.
All right.
Game number three. You know I love Fitz, but I just don't like that team, and I think he used his two games up this year. Game number three, I got the Chargers minus -10 versus Oakland. I'm taking the Chargers. That Oakland team is such a mess, and I think the Chargers are going to come out, prove a point that they are better than the Patriots this week, and maybe win by 40.
Riley, if there's a week that Oakland's going to pull out a magic win, it's this week when you're picking against them.
That's true.
I will also take Oakland plus +40 if you're giving me that line.
No, I won't take that bet. But if I win, I won't stop talking about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
But that's all I got for my picks.
Right on. And that is all we have for you guys this week at Squib Kick Radio. Boys, shout out to us. We made it 10 episodes. We're in the double digits.
We
did it. We're actually doing this weekly, so that's pretty awesome.
That's 10 weeks.
And for everyone that listens every week, that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
That's 10 weeks.
Yeah.
10 weeks.
You guys listen to us for 10 weeks. It's wild.
For you.
Couple good picks though. So if you guys are gambling folk, might be making some money. Maybe that's why you're sticking around. But with that, from us at Squib Kick, that's all we got for you this week, and we will catch you guys next week.
See ya.
See ya.
I got you stuck off the realness. Think not, this shit's too hot. Too hot. Rock you in your face. Dab your brain with your nose bone.
I'm a vampire walking on the surface of the sun.